really important to understand that since that time, literally no one has been brought to justice or brought to criminal charges in El Salvador for any of the human rights atrocities that happened, even, you know, incredibly huge events like the El Mozote massacre in 1981. And so it's been this ongoing struggle.
Where 800 people were killed.
Yes, and, you know, the Inter-American Human Rights Court in Costa Rica last year charged the Salvadoran state with responsibility for those crimes and actually ordered the state not to allow the amnesty law to be an obstacle to that. And so it certainly looks like the, you know, abrupt closure of Tutela Legal, which holds 50,000 records, including 80% of the cases that were used in the UN Truth Commission, that being cut off in terms of access, no one can get in to see if the archives are even safe at this point in time. And now the attack on ProBusca, that certainly looks like the right-wing oligarchy, who are the ones that stand to gain, or stand to lose, of course, the most if the amnesty law is ever overturned, are, you know, reaching increasingly violent and desperate measures to make sure that those, that evidence never comes
Alexis
to light.
Alexis DeMels, I want to thank you for being with us. That wraps up our show. Executive Director C-Suite Montserrat Martinez joining us from El Salvador, from the organization that was attacked and their files destroyed. We'll continue to follow the story. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkner, Fels, Aaron Mate. Special thanks to Claudia Ibarra, Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, and Al Kapani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman, Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
Love to design stuff and play on the internet? Henry Ford Community College offers a one-year certificate program in web technologies and design. Advanced HTML, computer art, web authoring tools, and web multimedia are a few of the courses offered.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
The program is designed to prepare a student to take CIW Certificate Internet Webmaster exams.
For more information on CIW exams, log on to www.ciwcertified.com.
Drop by the HFCC Counseling Office or log on to the web at hfcc.edu.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
This is the new WHFR Journal. My name is Dennis Reimers, WHFR Dearborn. And that is the temporary theme song to the journal, something I had put together for me for another show a long time ago. And I don't know, it's got a catchy little beat. Anyway, this is the new WHFR Journal for Friday, November 15th, 2013. And we have just a power-packed show today. We want to start right out with something extremely local and close to home. And from there, we'll go and move on to other things. But in the meantime, I want to introduce two new friends I have here. They're from the college, actually. And here, let me get rid of the theme song so that doesn't sneak up on us later. And I should start. Again, my name is Dennis Reimers, the new WHFR Journal. I'm in studio with my good friend and fellow WHFR staff member, John Conroy. How are you, sir?
Very fine, Dennis. How are you?
I am better than I deserve. And before we get on to our two guests in here, I do want to say I missed the show last week because I was en route. As you may know, John, my son, my wonderful son, Corey, graduated from Marine Boot Camp on Friday, this past Friday, that would have been November 8th, which was 2 days before the 238th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Did you know that it was the birthday?
I did.
Okay. And people are shaking their heads. I didn't until I got there, but believe me, they let you know. Obviously, it's a big event. Every year on November 10th or around that time, they do this major thing, and it's usually corresponds with the graduation of Marine recruits. My son did, in fact, pass. He did very, very well. He said he expected it to be difficult, and it was a goal that he set to be able to create a complete Marine boot camp, and he said it was harder than he ever imagined. And it was crazy. He had great stories. Most of them I cannot share on the air because we have a family audience. But no, November 10th was also the anniversary of the 24th anniversary of the day I met my wife. So there was a lot of stuff going on last weekend. A lot of emotions were running high. And I'm proud of you, Corey, if you're listening. And good job. He'll be off to Camp Pendleton next week for a short stay. And then they're sending him back to college. The Marine Corps is sending my son back to college to finish, and then he will go in as an officer when he's done in, like, I think it's about 2.5 years. So good for you. We also had a lot going on. Monday was also Veterans Day, so there was a lot of military stuff going on. But we have two people in here. I want to get right to that. Angie and Robert are both students at the college, and you're both in the culinary program?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to talk. Robert, what's your full name, and what are you doing here at the school? Like, what is your plans as far as a degree?
My name is Robert Speaks. I came here, like, 2009. I decided I wanted to be culinary.
Okay.
So I want to learn how to be a chef. Originally, I started with baking.
Okay.
Then I got to baking. Then I found sauté, then with the wine, alcohol, and a fire. Then I... No, just turned me on. So I left baking. I'm like, okay, sauteing is a new thing I want to do.
All right.
Get to play on fire. And so it was just fun.
So basically, you were exposed to things here that helps you dictate Yes. What you're going to do in the future. Okay. And Angie, what's your full name? We'll get your microphone going here.
My name is Angelina Atkins, and I started here around 2012 in the culinary program.
Okay, and your goal is similar to Robert's, where you want to actually complete a degree and get work out there in the culinary field?
Yes, I'm working on both hotel management and culinary, and now I'm hoping that they get some in ice carving, because I love a degree in that too.
Oh, here we go. Okay, and that really, I mean, as much as everybody could look at me and know that I enjoy eating, so that's not a question. At the same time, there's a lot of people in the culinary program, but there's a select few in the ice carving club, and that's really why you're here. We have an event coming up. In fact, it's tomorrow. Can you tell us a little bit about the event?
Yes, it's the Richard Tebow Invitational, third annual Invitational we have here on campus. It's Saturday, 9 o'clock.
Tomorrow
in parking lot H. Basically, we started this 3 years ago, just to let ice carvers come out and you know, get the rust off your body, get you back into use carving, because anybody who likes carving, keep up with us. You know, January, February, we're running hard every weekend, nonstop. So
what you're saying, basically, this is a warm-up. Even though it's a big deal, it's still a warm-up to many things that are coming up in the future.
Yes, it is a warm-up.
Now, how long have you been doing this, Robert?
I've been doing this just a year.
Just a year.
It's just been a year.
Okay, and Angie, how about you?
Almost 3 months.
Oh, okay, so you have a little catching up to. Now, let me ask you, this is an important question. What would make you, you've been doing this 3 months, so just 3 short months ago, what would make you decide, after, I guess, seeing what people are doing, why did you want to get into this? It's cold out there.
And it's funny, I don't like the cold, but it's so fun to play with chainsaws and Dremels and power tools.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here.
That's
then,
the nitty-gritty of it all.
So you watch people doing this, and you're like, I have to do that.
Yeah, and then what they create out the ice is just... fabulous. You can use it to serve food on as a decorative piece, centerpiece. It's really amazing, and it was something that I had to learn to make myself better as a culinarian.
Okay, and I would think that most of the people involved in this are culinary arts candidates for the culinary arts school, but you said there's somebody that...
Yeah.
Robert, who is that? Somebody,
yeah,
what's
we
he
got,
getting into?
Will Bird. He's a computer major. He actually came to us last year, said he want to learn how to carve ice. And Will stuck with us the whole time last year, even though he didn't get a chance to carve much ice, but he was there for every event just to show support.
That's
so
awesome.
That was just awesome. Then this year, he's actually competing, carving. So he got a good piece this year. So
that's awesome.
Yes. Angie, you also had experience with a chainsaw before, isn't that correct?
Yes. Some years ago, I took a building trade class, and we used to build houses, have to cut wood and everything. So, yeah, I do have some experience with the chainsaw and tools.
Okay. And I would think they wouldn't let anybody go in there without, I mean, there's supervision, obviously, and there's some training involved.
There's people in the program has zero experience with any electrical tools.
Before they start.
But you have to take a safety test first.
Okay.
You have to know what it is you're working with. And we don't go straight into the power tools. We go hand tools first.
Okay.
And do a smaller piece. Like our first piece was a clamshell. And all that was hand tools. And then so on and so on. The instructor is very well. He teaches. He shows you hand-on. Step by step, how to hold it and use it and everything else.
So safety first, obviously.
Safety always first.
Safety's always first. That's our main concern out there. It's always safety first. That's why you ever see us, we don't have any strings. If you see, mine are tied up.
Sure.
So power tools won't get catch onto you. It has happened before, but luckily we was able to catch in time. So safety is our number one priority out there. We sign safety waivers and saying you're trained. We make sure you train before we let you just go at it.
Yeah. Now, a couple of years ago, I had another show. I've been doing the Journal now for more than 3 years. But when I first came to the college and to the radio station, I had a show with a wonderful co-host named Lindsay Flynn. And Lindsay and I had a show called Campus Connection. Our very, very first show, I remember it was in October, and she was walking in and we were going over show prep. Now, we're nervous. This is our first show. So we probably got here like, you know, 3-4 hours ahead of time to go over everything, as opposed to now we're like, hey, you ready? Okay, let's go. You know, but she came in and she said, you know, there's some people out there, meaning out in the area just outside the cafeteria, outside our student center, that were taking an iron, like you iron your clothes. Yes, and irons are typically hot. That's no brainer. And putting it on ice. And what is the point of this? And because she was really excited about it, and then again, we had people come in, but it was years ago, so I don't remember what they said.
The point of it is, it depends. There's two different ways you can use the iron. You can use iron to apply your template on onto your ice, which is the drawing that you made that you're about to carve and design. So when you go on through it, you know what every piece is, like a blueprint for you, just sitting on the ice.
It's a guideline that you can follow.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Then also what the way you can use the iron is for with aluminum. We heat up aluminum, and we can put it on ice and take another piece of colder ice, stick it right there and infuse it together, add a little water and it sticks. And that what makes the ice carving so beautiful, because in a perfect condition, you can literally have something look like it's about to fall over, and then you're not even worried about going anywhere.
Okay. Now, so just so I know, I remember going to, it may have been this very event a year or two ago, because this, I think, is the third one?
Yes, it's the third one this year.
So it might have been the first one because it was here at the college. And you have this block of ice, and the point is to use as much of it as you can, even if that means, like you said, cutting it and stacking it and then adhering it to each other. Yes. So what it starts off as a block of ice, it could end up looking completely different.
Yes. It's a 350 to 400 pound block of ice, 40 by 20 by 10. Yeah.
Okay. And Angie's got all the stats. Okay.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I didn't realize how much I got a passion for this. We have a great instructor. I have great people I'm working with. We have certain steps, and once you learn those steps and follow them, it's amazing what you can do with it. I mean, my piece tomorrow has 6 fusions. Some people I know are doing stuff that I think is completely crazy, stands taller than you, and I swear I'm looking like it's about to fall over.
That's awesome.
But it's amazing.
So, okay, so this is the 3rd annual Richard Teeple Collegiate Ice Carving Invitational. It's Saturday, tomorrow, November 16th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Student Parking Lot H, which I believe is behind the theater here.
Yeah.
McKenzie Theater. Its competition starts at 10 a.m. That's totally open to the general public. Free admission, but you did tell me that if people are thirsty, if it gets a little bit cool and they want some hot chocolate, there'll be clubs.
We have the clubs out there. We have the bake club out there. We also have the baking club, the graphic novel club,
and what's the other ceramic club?
Ceramic club.
So what they'll be doing is selling stuff, and of course that's for their club.
Yes.
Fundraising, but the actual admission, if you come out just to watch, is completely free.
Yes, it's completely free.
That is absolutely amazing, Robert, Angie. Thank you so much for taking your time with us today. And we're going to take a short non-commercial break and come back with more of the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR-FM, the station making waves. Please stay tuned.
Motor Live Drive at 5.
The only local weekly live music show on the radio.
Every Thursday at 5 o'clock for a full hour.
With a full spectrum of local music.
Rock.
Folk.
Jazz.
Blues.
Singer-songwriters.
Rap.
Reggae.
Indie bands.
And rhythm and blues.
If you miss a show, check out the podcast.
There are over 200 musical performances available at the station website, whfr.fm.
Motor Live Drive at 5, Thursday, 5 till 6 p.m.
On WHFR, we don't just talk about supporting local music, we're doing it.
WebAdvisor, a program allowing students and staff access to college-related information. Through WebAdvisor, you are able to register for classes, view grades, track financial aid, print class schedules, and much more. Log into WebAdvisor by going to my.hfcc.edu/webadvisor or from the homepage, hfcc.edu.
You are round MVP.
Yeah, man. Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage. It's a good thing you got me as your wingman.
Right. You mean when you threw that flash grenade at me?
Whatever, man. Huge round. Seriously, great stuff.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes.
All right, class. I'm going to pass back your tests. And a high score goes to... Brian.
Oh, yeah! High score, baby!
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ag Council.
For more information in Michigan, visit knowhowtogomichigan.org. That's knowhowtogomichigan.org.
You're listening to the station that's making waves, WHFR Dearborn.
That's right, the station making waves. This is the new WHFR Journal with Dennis Reimers and John Conroy on November 15th. All right, let's pod this down a little, John. I love that music. I love when somebody does something for me. Boy, that I'll just stop right there.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, with their intentions were nothing but charitable. That's an awesome feeling, especially when they're my kid's age. That gives me hope for the future.
Yes.
Anyway, so there we go. That's our new mini, our temporary theme song. John, something, you know, you've listened to the journal before. We talk about a lot of things. You know, I was out of town last week, and... we'll talk about that at length. Hold on. I lost my headphones. Fell out of here. It's hard to know what I'm saying if I can't hear me. Anyway, I was out of town, and there were a lot of things going on that I wasn't aware of. I was really glad to hear that there was you took part in a recap of the election, because I know that's a big part of this. I mean, the results were a big part of the community, not just the school, but the entire community. And it was great to hear that Jay was here because, of course, that's where he's... He's always at his best, but that's where he takes it to another level. So congratulations. I haven't listened to the show, but I will. It sounds like you had a pretty good time, too.
Terrific show. Jay was, as his normal self, very prepared and very great, and it was a pleasure to work with him.
He is. It's so much fun to work with. I've learned so much from him from since the beginning, not always willingly. Anyway, but there's some things that went on, a major event that went on at the beginning of the month, and it actually happened on overnight on Friday, November 2nd, while I was preparing, and we left for our trip on November 3rd. And I found out about it when I get back. The reason why I bring it up is because it is kind of a big deal. And I know we'll talk about this at length over the next few weeks, months, whatever, because so many things are at issue here. And what I'm talking about is a young lady named Renisha McBride. She was 19, and she was shot in the face on November 2nd by a 54-year-old man, Dearborn Heights resident. And he told police he thought someone was breaking into his home in Dearborn Heights, and he accidentally fired his 12-gauge shotgun. It's Theodore Wafer, 54. He was being arraigned today at 2:00 in Dearborn Heights. We wanted to have Bob Oliver, who wrote a story. He's covering this for the Dearborn Times Herald, but he was downtown at when Detroit Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy announced what was going to happen. And a lot of people were waiting. They needed a lot of evidence to come in first from the investigators before they made their decision. And Kim did, in fact. I talked to Bob. He's working on the article. We're going to get him on another date. He actually has to go to the arraignment at 2:00, so that made it impossible for him to be here. A journalist can't be in two places at once. What's going on? Anyway, you have that in front of you. This is rather breaking news from, I think, 12:18 on the Detroit Free Press. What did Kim Worthy say?
Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy announced this morning that Theodore Wafer is being charged with manslaughter and possession of a firearm during the attempted commission or commission of a felony. She said Wafer will be asked to turn himself in and is expected to be arraigned at 2 p.m. in Dearborn Heights 20th District Court. And I also heard that the part of the charge was murder in the second degree.
That wasn't in the article.
It wasn't in this article, but I heard that also on the radio this morning.
On the radio. Okay. Yep. So I just want to take a quick look to recap, because I don't know if this recaps the event. According to police, McBride's car struck a parked vehicle in Detroit more than 2 hours before she was shot. Police said that just before 1 a.m. November 2nd, a police witness called 911 to say a woman was speeding down the street in the area of Bramwell and Majestic, two side streets in Detroit, hit a parked vehicle, got out of the car and left. She later returned to the scene according to a second 911 call, but was gone when police arrived. That caller told police the woman appeared to be intoxicated. And they did, in fact, say, I read an article that she had a blood alcohol level of 0.21, which is almost three times the legal limit, which is, 0.08. So they did a lot of research. They know they had Dearborn Heights investigators involved in this. They were waiting for it. And there was we won't read the whole thing, but I know you did have a wonderful editorial. Wasn't that in the Free Press itself? And it was balanced, and it talked about, hey, let's stay calm until we have all the information, because so many people, I mean, we get knee-jerk reactions. We do this all the time, we being myself included, that something will happen, and we want to immediately say, oh, do this or do that. I gotta tell you, I was just at Marine boot camp, you know, the graduation ceremony for my son, and I was like, stop treating them that way. You know what I mean? We get indignant. We have a reaction internally to want to, you know, we want to respond to what we think is unjust treatment, whatever that is. But well, we've always said on this show, Jay has been saying it for years and years and years, and I have no choice but to agree that we need all the information before we can make any decisions. And that this, just highlight this this editorial, because I think it was actually quite brilliant.
This editorial was Thursday, November 14th from the Free Press, and the first sentence is an important sentence. It says to stay calm, wait for the facts. That's exactly what everyone in Southeast Michigan needs to do while authorities figure out what on earth led a 54-year-old Dearborn Heights man to shoot 19-year-old Renisha McBride in the face while she was standing on his porch 2 weeks ago.
And this basically editorial keeps asking the really, really relevant questions of, you know, what happens if she was really looking for help and he reacted too quickly? Did he feel threatened? With the stand your ground law, you don't necessarily have to be an imminent danger of, you know, fatal danger to be able to react in response violently. So there's a lot of things here that are at play. But for Kim Worthy, who in this editorial, and it was written, it's there's no byline, but it was clear it was written by the Free Press, or at least editors from the Free Press, they think that Kim Worthy, they state right in there that she's fair. If there is enough to prosecute, she'll know and she'll do it. And if there isn't, she'll also realize that and not go forward. So this is an interesting decision.
It was done. Obviously, she went a lot of thinking went into this decision. And in the other part of the editorial, it says, in the absence of stand your ground, would the man who killed McBride have ventured onto his porch, or would he have stayed inside and dialed 911? Until all the facts of the encounter are released, it's impossible to say.
Exactly.
But it's worth considering. You
know? Absolutely. So she ends up, the accident is in Detroit. She ends up in Dearborn Heights. She's knocking on doors, knocks on this gentleman's door, 54-year-old Dearborn Heights resident, and he feels that he's in danger. But at the same time, his response, the actual shooting of the shotgun was accidental. So here he says, I felt in danger. I felt like she was going to break in. But the gun went off accidentally, and they've said that it was a distance from her, so he wasn't right next to her. So over the next weeks, and like I said, months, a lot is going to come out about this, and we're going to hear people on both sides. And I go along with what the editorial writer, wait till we hear everything. Even now, we don't know everything. So there's so much that can happen. And if there's nothing we've learned, like, you know, the way media is now, we know what's going on in almost every corner of the planet, almost when it happens. I think it's really fair. We've learned through some of these experiences, through Trayvon Martin, through some of the things that have gone on, that we really do have to make sure we have all the facts.
Can't jump too fast before you want to make a decision.
Absolutely not. Okay. And again, this show is not, we don't want to debate things, you know, especially things that are criminal activity. We don't promote that. We don't talk about it too much, but this was something he's going to talk about rights, stand your ground. I mean, there's a lot of things that are controversial here that may change the way we look at things when it's all said and done. We touched on earlier in the show all of the festivities that went on this past a week ago. You know, Veterans Day was Monday. I was at, I got to take part in the 238th birthday of the United States Marine Corps, and I watched my son graduate. And these are all things that were really, really good. Something else that got my attention was an article in the actual Dearborn Press and Guide. It came out, it was on the website yesterday, November 14th. This is a story by Joe Slezak, and the headline is State Legislators Report Calls for Additional Services for and Better Treatment of Veterans and Active Military Members. This is really interesting. The subject is close to the heart of State Rep. David Kanizek, who I had an opportunity to meet at some of the city council meetings when I cover things for the city of Dearborn Heights, and he's just a class act. Seriously, a really good guy. Mm-hmm. And real young, and he's got a lot on his mind. He and Harvey Santana, a Democrat from Detroit, they chaired a task force regarding the Michigan House Democrats Veterans. They are the Michigan House Democrats Veterans Services Task Force. They chaired it. Kanizek is a Marine, completed two tours of duty in Iraq with a scout sniper platoon, and he's the first Iraqi war veteran to serve in the House. Santana, whose district includes Northeast Dearborn, served in the Navy. He rescued people in the Haitian-Cuban boat crisis and served in the Persian Gulf of Somalia. They were joined on the task force by Representatives George Duraney, Andrew Kendrivas, Brian Banks, Marilyn Lane, Charles Smiley, and Henry Yanis. Basically, the task force released its report November 7th in advance of Veterans Day, which was this past Monday, and their recommendations were broken into three areas: transition, education, and employment. That's one. Another area is housing and health care, and then still serving. So the transition, education, and employment, this is the report, said for many veterans, the return to civilian life can come as a shock. Leaving behind the world of rigid structure and tight schedules for a realm of limitless possibilities is often daunting. Though there are resources available to help veterans at this time of transition, many don't take advantage. Some aren't sure where to turn, overwhelmed by the immense amount of paperwork that accompanies a service member from active duty to becoming a veteran. And once they do leave, some are the best students and employees. So basically, that's going to help them create a framework based on best practices that colleges and universities can adopt to become a military-friendly school. They're also going to authorize private employers to give hiring preferences to veterans. That's huge. Award a tax credit to businesses that hire unemployed veterans. Guarantee in-state and in-district tuition to veterans at state universities and community colleges. We heard about this when we had the president of our college, Dr. Stan Jensen, on. He said that this is something that is going into place where the veterans are going to be able to have in-state tuition. And I don't know about in-district everywhere. In-district, it says, to veterans at state universities. Okay, that's good. In-district is heck of a lot cheaper. In-state would be for people that are going to U of M or whatever, but in-district here in Dearborn is a substantial savings, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, and then also allow state departments to show preference toward disabled veterans when awarding contracts. In regard to the housing and health care, the task force recommendations are to initiate a study on the establishment of a state veterans home in southeastern Michigan. Expand the use of service dogs in the public to those with post-traumatic stress disorder. Provide funding for public education about PTSD, and require the state departments of military and veteran affairs and community health to distribute information about services that are available. And those that are still serving, they want to make sure that they ensure all absentee ballots from service members are counted during the election. That's a big deal. I've heard many people say, you know, I want to make sure. That's important to me. Allows those serving overseas to return their ballots online and allow for online voter registration. It's almost like a no-brainer. We feel like this should be something that is automatic. Well, it's really, really good that these vets and people that are still active, not just vets, but people that are military, still active in the military, get these opportunities and expanded rights because of what they're doing. I would have said this before my son graduated, just so you know, John. We do have somebody that just came in studio, so we're going to take a quick, short, non-commercial break, and then we're going to be back with more of the new WHFR Journal when we return. Please stay tuned.
Give my regards to Broadway, remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang on 42nd Street that I will soon be there.
I'm Joe, host of The Best of Broadway. Every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we bring you the score of a Broadway musical as well as individual theatrical numbers. For the best in musical theater and theatrical music, join me and the gang on 42nd Street for the Best of Broadway, Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves.
Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there ere long.
Criminal justice studies are concerned with the preservation of peace, the prevention of crime, and the protection of life and property. A knowledge of the role of criminal justice in our society also serves to emphasize the importance of balancing the needs of society to maintain social order against the need to safeguard individual rights. For more information on the HFCC Associate Degree Program in Criminal Justice, contact the Criminal Justice Department at one of the following numbers: 313-845-6437, 313-845-9714, or 313-845-9859.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day, or let an ache tell us what we can and cannot do. We will not linger on the sofa, ask somebody else to bring us the mail, or take the parking space closest to the door. But what we will do is take action. We will plan ahead. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. Lace up our sneakers and grab our tennis rackets. We will bowl. We will do our morning laps and bike ride through Saturday afternoon. We will walk our dogs around the block. We will pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Right, that's my cue. We are back. This is the new WHFR Journal. It is. Boy, we're halfway through the show. This is incredible. We have a lot to cover. And in fact, right now we are joined in studio by more guests from the college. We talked to the Ice Carving Club earlier today, and now we're sticking kind of with a theme. There's an art theme going on here, but it's a little different. Longtime HFCC professor in the art department, Steve Glazer. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing real good today.
You know, you've been on the show before, so this
yes, I have.
All right, let me put this here. You have an event coming up, and I love your events, by the way. I love all the events in the art department, and I do get a chance to see them eventually. And the good news is they're not like, well, it's today from 4 to 5. You snooze, you lose. I mean, this is going to be prolonged. What's the event that's going on?
We are putting on the second annual Henry Ford Community College Fall Pottery Boutique.
The Fall Pottery Boutique. Okay. Now, is this a student art?
It is student art as well as invited guest artists, professional artists from across the state, most of them from Metro Detroit, but two of them, a couple that are from Marquette that are shipping their work down to me today.
Wow. Because you know what? Marquette's about 10 hours away, and I'll bet... donuts to dollars, it's snowing up there. It has to be at this point. And, you know, I just came back from San Diego, California. You know, 4 or 5 days ago, I was body surfing in the Pacific Ocean. And then I come back here and it's cold. But actually, this is warmer than Oklahoma. So we have that going for us. Who are some of the guest artists
include Brigitte Lang from the Ann Arbor area, Alexson.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry,
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Her name. Alexson from the Novi. Trying to think of
Anne?
All.
Ann Tubbs?
Yeah, Ann Tubbs from, I believe she's in the Saline area.
Would you say it's fair, is it fair to say that if they're in this particular exhibit, that'd be the quality of the work is there?
It's very high quality work. It's all been, they're artists that I really admire, ceramic artists that I really admire, and including Ann Tubbs. It's like when we talked about doing this, and you know, I said to my students, it's like, okay, if you're going to help and you're going to make this happen, because a lot of this is driven by a group of students that make up the Ceramics Club. You know, I sort of oversee and kick butt to make sure things get done and stuff. The first person I want to invite and see if she will be on board is Ann Tubbs, and she immediately last year jumped on board, and her stuff is a little bit pricier than a lot of the other artist work because she's got a very good reputation, mm-hmm. well known, but not outrageous. I look at $35 for a handmade mug that has a surface decoration. I mean, that's artist quality. That it's going to be something that someone is going to really want to have and to show off. That's not outrageous.
No. Is it a functional mug?
Yes, like, yes, totally functional.
Okay, that's important
but
to me.
She didn't sell a whole lot last year. She sold a few pieces, but when we put out emailers this year to invite each of the artists back that were here last year, even though she didn't sell a whole lot, she was the first one to say, it's like, count me in.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement of the exhibit.
Yeah, that is. And it's... We operate a little bit different than a few other similar exhibits in the area in that this is very student-run. It's a learning experience for the students, and that's why we do it.
Now, you said, you mentioned two different things, students and student club. Where does this particular exhibit originate more from the club than the actual? So this isn't a classroom thing where you're mandating it. These are people that are saying, no, we want to do that.
Right.
Is that
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Exactly. These are students that are doing it above their classwork.
That's amazing to me. And to your right is a lovely lady. I know your first name is Irene. Irene, what's your full name? And
Irene
what's your
Nada.
Nada. And what's your capacity?
I'm a fourth semester student here in the ceramics program. And loving every minute of it.
Will you have work in this particular exhibit?
I will.
That has to feel amazing.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome.
You know, and the thing is, and I write, and I've written for a living, and it's funny because when you create your art, and mine was far from art, believe me, but when you're creating your work, I mean, the one thing that you're thinking about as you do this is, gosh, I hope somebody can actually see this, and then the second part of it is then appreciate it. You know.
Mm-hmm. On top of that. It's exciting when you're cashing people out of our boutique and they actually picked up and are paying for one of your pieces.
Yeah.
As a student, that's just,
you're walking on cloud nine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've seen a significant real improvement in quality from our ceramic students as a result of last year's show. And just the experience of getting the confidence that in fact our work is good enough to sell is just spurs people on to perfect their art even more.
So the students' work will be for sale as well.
Yes.
Correct.
Oh, in fact, right. One of my students last year she was doing good, but. Yeah, I wouldn't go to the level of being fantastic.
Right.
But yeah, she really stepped up for the sale last year.
Well, I would.
And she actually outsold everyone.
Really?
And as a result of that, she has incorporated herself as an LLC and has been doing art fairs on her own now.
No kidding.
And so it's like, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's
all about.
It's a teaching
thing. It's like, how do you take the next step into, instead of just doing this as a hobby, but going out and making it a livelihood.
Now, Irene, this is your fourth semester.
Correct.
So, I mean, are you thinking along those lines now, man, if I could make a living doing this or even supplement my income?
I'm a retired business executive turned potter.
Okay.
And this is, it started out as just a hobby, something I really all my life wanted to pursue and just didn't have the time to do.
Right.
And the ceramics program here at Henry Ford is one of the best in the region. And I decided to, come here and start my hobby. Well, now it's giving me opportunity that I would have never, ever thought I had. So it's almost like a second career track. And for a lot of the students that are far younger than me, you know, they see it as their first career track. But for me, and we have a number of students that are retired from business and are pursuing art now on their own, and it's pretty exciting. It's a lot of fun.
In fact, one of our outside artists, Chris Craven,
started
here. She was a business person working locally. In fact, it's wife of Pete Cravens, who teaches in criminal justice.
Oh, yeah.
And she started taking, pottery classes. Her background was in design merchandising.
Okay.
And was working, somewhere in the Dearborn area, I don't remember where, and started taking pottery classes. And now that she's retired, she's doing this full time.
This year.
And doing, I saw her work for the first time, in a few years yesterday when she brought her stuff in for this our boutique. And it's like, wow. Yeah, she has stepped it up to that next level.
See, and you are in a position to be able to properly evaluate this. Right. So you've been doing this for a couple of years, haven't you, Steve?
Yeah. This has been my life since. Yeah.
John, did you have something?
Well, I just want to relate to that very well because I also retired from General Motors, and I wanted to come here and learn how to do radio broadcasting. And I took the class this past spring, and here I am. So your dreams can start any day.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're never too old to learn and try something new.
Well, you know, and it's funny because in 2008, the economy just went south. And especially in Michigan, I mean, the only thing it seemed that was being manufactured at times was unemployment. You know what I mean? It was just so bad. And so my wife and I, we lost our jobs. And I tell people that, they go, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, heck no, I'm not. We got a chance. And I know it's a cliche, but we reinvented ourselves. And here we are. I'm on the radio. She's doing following her love. And John's here. And you're here, Irene. And Steve, people like you are here to kind of guide us. You know. So we appreciate people like yourself. And we talk about Jay all the time because this is his thing. So go ahead, John.
Well, I'm just also glad to hear that you're not necessarily a part of the starving artist club either.
No.
None of us are starving over there, believe me.
No. So tell me about when does the event start? And what can we see this?
The second annual HFCC Fall Pottery Boutique runs from 10 a.m. on Thursday morning, November 21st, till 8 p.m. that evening, and then the following day, Friday from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Now, anybody's welcome, correct?
Anyone's welcome. It's in the Sisson Gallery, which is in the McKenzie Fine Arts Building.
Basically, that's the, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the westernmost building. So if people take the south,
entrance. Drive around, and we will have some road signs out so that to direct, because we've done a lot of the club has done a lot of advertising. We've had ads in Metro Times.
Awesome.
The last couple of weeks, and one will be next Wednesday.
Okay.
And
you and I have talked. I'm going to get both of you, or at least one of you, on the air in Dearborn Heights, so we can talk about it there, because a lot of people wonder what's going on. And of course, we have a Dearborn Heights campus as well, so that affects those students.
I just want to ask, other than the boutique, are there any type of workshops or sessions as far as that program goes?
That's a good question. We did do some periodically with the budgets the way they are right now, because some of it was done via gallery budget, being that I'm director of exhibitions for the Sisson Gallery. And, when possible, if I could get artists to come in and do a day-long demo, I would do that and be able to give them a stipend. Right now, that's really hard, though. The couple, Ed and Julie Rysik from Marquette, who I mentioned earlier, and they both, I think they're adjuncts at Northern Michigan University in the ceramic program, though I may be wrong on that. I know they both teach at Northern Michigan, I think, in the ceramic program, and their daughter's just graduating in the ceramic program there. But the deal that I've worked out with them is that the Ceramics Club will find a way to sponsor an afternoon or a day-long workshop for them when they come back down next semester to pick up any unsold work.
Okay.
And so it's like the Ceramics Club is, we're going to put our pennies together if you have any spare bottles around, we'll take them or Jeez. Whatever.
I love
and
it.
And actually, that's been building up, stuff like that. But when we do those, they're for the students initially, but they're open to the public. We did one a few years ago where we had, you know, three major artists. One is no longer with us, passed away a couple years ago, and I think this may have been his last workshop, but one lives in upstate New York, one in Indiana, and then Victor Spinsky was in Delaware, and we had people from across Michigan and from northern Ohio come to it. It's like the Clay Room. We had about 100 people come in there. You couldn't walk.
Wow. There's so many phenomenal exhibits in there, and yours is another one.
Could I just make a sure. plug for our sale?
Yeah, sure.
We, this year, are doing a cultural corner, which is something that we added on this year, and there's going to be, to accommodate the multicultural community that we live in, so there will be beyond Christmas decorations available for sale. There will also be pieces for Hanukkah, for
Kwanzaa.
This is all during this event?
Yes. All during
oh,
the
no
event.
Kidding. All right.
There will be jewelry there. Wow. Just a eclectic variety of pieces that will just about attract and please just about anybody off the street or a good part of the student body here.
So, and again, this is a free event. I mean, if you right. want to purchase some of the art there, either the ceramics or anything that you're talking about, that it's available for purchase. But to view this, to get an experience of looking at the art of students as well as local and somewhat
regional.
Distant, regional,
yeah.
thank you, regional artists. I mean, not, I don't know, there aren't that many opportunities out there to do something like this. We welcome it.
We are hoping that it's a quite special event.
That's awesome. If somebody has questions, is there a number we can give them?
Yeah.
Give me your cell number, Steve.
My office number is 313-845-6485.
All right, cool.
If I'm not in my office, it comes up on my computer, and I will look at it and listen to it.
But you're also busy, too, guiding these young artists.
Yeah, I'm not in my office that much these days.
That's right.
That's the unfortunate part about
Irene,
giving out a number.
Thank you for sharing your time with us and sharing your experiences. It sounds like, you might be headed in another direction, a whole new, kind of like my wife and I, a whole new life.
Absolutely.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because I was in, when I was on my way back from San Diego, I was in a hotel in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they had a local publication there was called IQ Local, a lot like our Metro Times. And there was an interview with a local artist, I believe of Mexican and Native American descent. But the point that really hit home with me was his quote. He says, "I believe that art is a way of life." And his quote was, he says, "I get up, I create, I enjoy, I go to sleep, I repeat." And he does it. And I was like, man, that is really powerful. What a great mantra. So, Irene, good luck to you. And we'll be looking for your things there. Steve, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And sharing the information. We're going to take a short non-commercial break. And we will be back with more new WHFR Journal after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Have you ever wondered if we were alone in the universe? 55% of Americans believe we are not. Most of those believe we have been visited. And now, high-ranking government, military, and corporate officials are coming forward to confirm those beliefs. Join your host, David Twitchell, the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. for We Are Not Alone. A new guest each month will share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. Listen in and weigh the evidence for yourself, right here on WHFR.FM 89.3. We are not alone.
Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford Community College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the Alternative Energy Program, please contact HFCC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.org. nyu.edu/programs.
What is that?
Oh, that? It's my time machine.
Does it work?
Sure. Just hit this button.
Whoa, dinosaurs. Cool.
Or we can go here.
Hey, that's Napoleon.
Oui.
Or we can go to the future.
Wow, hey, you have this nice house. Do I have a nice house?
No, you didn't save any money. Always spent it on vacations and stuff.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and correct that bad habit.
Yep.
Okay, the time machine is not real, but the saving thing is. Get in the habit of putting some of your money in savings each week through a 401k, savings account, or financial investments. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1,000,000. For free ideas and easy tips on saving, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. What does this crazy little button do?
Wait, no!
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. This is the new WHFR Journal with Dennis Reimars and John Conroy. It is, boy, we're getting close here, and we have quite a bit to go over, so I want to make sure that we can cover all this stuff. Let me put it down a little bit here. All right, John, that music, I love it. Okay, well, it was good having those guys in. I want to talk about something. They came in and kind of caught me off guard. I heard you heard the loud beep. For everybody listening, you may have heard in the past there's an actual button people can press to come in, and it's very loud to get our attention. And I was waiting for Steve, but I wasn't looking, so shame on me. But we were talking about the state legislators. Representative David Kinesic and Harvey Santana. Basically, they did a lot of cool stuff for getting additional services and better treatment for veterans and active military members. These are recommendations. They weren't necessarily things that are going into effect immediately, but they were, anybody with half a brain will look at this as a positive way, something positive to implement. I just wanted to direct your attention. This was from the Press and Guide. PressandGuide.com was Joe Slezak's article from yesterday, November 14th. Take a look at it. Read it. I read it really very, very quickly and didn't get a chance to finish. But I don't want to, it's important, but I want people to be able to read everything without me racing through something, because that doesn't accomplish much. Anyway, we do have some other things to go on, and something really important. What do you have there, John?
This is also from the Press and Guide from Wednesday, November 13th. Dearborn Superintendent Brian Whiston, he was at a school board meeting, and at that school board meeting, he was named Michigan Superintendent of the Year. School board trustees and school administrators collaborated to nominate Whiston, who knew a few weeks ago that he was a finalist for the award. MASA officials notified that he was the winner, but asked that they be allowed to surprise him at Monday's meeting. He seemed surprised as Mays, Wayne Regional Educational Service Agency Superintendent Chris Wygent, and his wife filed into the boardroom during the commendations part of the meeting. Integrity is the word a longtime cohort used to describe Whiston, Mays said. Wygent said, while some people have different motives in public and in private, Whiston is always focused on doing what's best for students. Whiston shared credit with the school board, teachers, staff, and parents in the district. This is for all of you, not just me, he said, adding, and I'm going to get even.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Brian. Of course, we had him on a couple months ago. You can listen to that if you look up the podcast for the new WHFR Journal. You can look it up by his name, not just by the date, because some of them are by date when they go further back. But that was one of significance. So we had his by the name, Brian Whiston, interview with Mr. Whiston. One of the other things that's going on, this is Joe Slezak's article on the Press and Guide website from yesterday. Planning Commission approval helps clear way for sale of abandoned DPW yard. In a nutshell, the DPW yard is on Telegraph Road, west side of Telegraph, just south of Michigan Avenue, and La Fontaine, the big automotive group. They just recently, when Oxford Lanes was torn down, they put up a Volkswagen dealership there. They are trying to buy this land, and it appears it's moving forward. The Planning Commission voted 6-0 to allow modifications to the landscape requirements, which was the next step in the process. We'll stay tuned on that if LaFontaine gets it. Also, another article, the Dearborn proposed legislation upset school board members. Dearborn Public Schools trustees expressed growing frustration at more possible state dictates and asked residents to call the legislators sponsoring the bills. Comments came as Brian Whiston updated the board on several bills working their way through Lansing. It says through the Lansing. And I'll have a good chance of passing, he said. Again, this is an article. The first bill would require the Michigan Department of Education to move away from the color-coded grading system it started using this year to evaluate schools and go back to straight letter grades. Okay. Another proposal would require schools to retain any third grader who is not proficient on the MEEP reading test. So that would mean they would not move on to the next level. Said last year that included almost one-third of Michigan third graders, a number expected to increase. And then the third piece of legislation would require every school to have in case of a severe allergic reaction, but would not provide funding for the pens. EpiPens. Thank you. I was trying to read it. It was spelled a little weird here. It would require every school to have EpiPens in case of a reaction, but would not provide funding for the pens or training on how to use them. So, and I've always had a problem with state or federal dictates or mandates that don't actually provide the funding. So we will see. Again, this is DearbornPressandGuide.com. That's about proposed legislation and how it upsets the school board. You can read more on that online. Again, in Dearborn Heights, this council approves harassment policy and agrees to fire department purchases. This was at this past Tuesday's city council meeting in Dearborn Heights in council chambers. And they unanimously approved a policy prohibiting unlawful behavior, specifically harassment, discrimination, and retaliation by employees. This policy is an upgrade to the current city policy, which does not cover as many types of harassment. Based on recent events, this is City Attorney Gary Miyake. He said in a letter to the council, based on recent events, it has become apparent to me that the existing policies are deficient in numerous ways. So they basically ramped up their ability to, in the end, he said it could result in discipline up to and including discharge. So the city wants the ability to be able to look at a situation and an all-inclusive way to say no more harassment. Okay, that's in Dearborn Heights. Something else is interesting. This is from actually quite a while ago. Allen Park is the emergency manager came in, took away some, made changes to retirees' benefits, and the city, the Allen Park Retirees Association, is fighting back with a lawsuit. They want their stuff. They do not want anything taken away from what they've already negotiated and had in place. The emergency manager says, well, I can do this. So that's a lawsuit, and everything's required. All the responses by the state and city are required by November 22nd. So we'll know more about that in just a couple weeks. And then, boy, how was that, John? I just moved through pretty quickly, right?
You're a fast-moving guy.
I have no idea what I just said. No, I'm kidding. I'm just looking at the clock here. I know that Joanne Korchinska will be in soon for Highway 61. Around the world, there's a concert here at the college, a fall 2013 concert, November 21st. So that's this next week, Thursday, 11:30 a.m. in the Student Center. It's where the 5101 restaurant is. It's also where our radio station is. It's probably the building that's closest to Evergreen Road, other than the big blue building with all the windows, our administrative building. So you can park in general parking, or if you are not a student here, you can park on this day in the visitor parking. That's Thursday, November 21st at 11:30 a.m. The Tropical Wahines. It's a Polynesian dance troupe that specializes in luau-style entertainment and cultural education events. They will be here. Come and experience the Aloha spirit. If you have questions, 313-845-9865. That's Tropical Wahines, Thursday, November 21st at 11:30 a.m. in the Student Center. Also, up until November 22nd, starting the beginning of the month, but it goes through November 22nd, HFCC Staff Council needs your help to collect items for care packages to send soldiers. And there's stuff all over campus at almost every building. You can come on campus to see exactly where you need to drop this off. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the lady in charge is Marlene Wojtowicz, and you can call the main number at the college, and then She's at extension 6601, and you can find out more about this. And I know it's online as well. Just go to hfcc.edu. You can find out more about staff council, HFCC staff council, collecting items, care packages for soldiers. We also have Monday. We'll talk about this later. But so you know, there's an HIV AIDS Awareness Day Monday, December 2nd, and the school is offering free confidential counseling and testing. We'll talk more about that. But so you know, this is coming from HFCC Student Activities Office, the Diversity Club, and the African American Association. If you do have questions, 313-845-9865, 313-845-9865. All right, this is over. And my big event that I actually tried to get somebody, actually there's two more things here. The Scheherazade Tell Me a Story, November 15th, that's today, 6:30 p.m. at the Michael Berry Amphitheater in our students, I'm sorry, the ASCC building, which is the big blue building with all the windows, as my former co-host Lindsay Flynn used to like to call it. So that's tonight at 6:30. It is Scheherazade Tell Me a Story, and it is the Arab Cultural Studies program, and they're screening that tonight at 6:30. And I want to make sure, I want to see if there's a charge for that. The screening is free and open to the public. Seating is limited. Reservations are necessary. Feel free to contact Dr. Michael Daher. He's the Director of Arab Cultural Studies here at HFCC at mdaher, M-D-A-H-E-R, at hfcc.edu. And then tonight is the very first show of Snow White, written by my good friend, Judy Fletcher. Judy rewrote, so she revised this, and she's directing it. Starts tonight, and let's see. Tonight at 7, tomorrow 2 o'clock and 7 p.m., Sunday at 2 o'clock. Those are and then there's school matinees all week. And then again, next Friday at 7, next Saturday at 2 and 7, and next Sunday at 2. So we have these two weekends during the day on Saturday and Sunday, during the night on Friday and Saturday. Adult tickets are $15. Students with ID are only 12. Children 12 and under are $10, and groups of 10 or more are $8 a piece. I don't have the phone number here, darn it, but it's on hfcc.edu, the website. Go to the HFCC Theater Arts Department, and all the information's there. And no, I can't find the number because the actual flyer I have is too small. But you can go to you can purchase tickets online also at the HFCC Theater Arts Department. That's Snow White starting tonight, and we're going to do everything we can to get Judy Fletcher on with us for a few minutes next Friday to talk about this. Joanne is here. We are done. Another edition of the new WHFR Journal. John, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Dennis. Power packed.
There we go. My name again is Dennis Freimars, and we will be back with you next week for another edition. And local news and alternative views, that's what we do. Thanks so much for listening, folks. Have a great week.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
Love to design stuff and play on the internet? Henry Ford Community.